ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
On ABC Radio, you're with Rod Quinn. It is time for our weekly look at the world of health and fitness with Professor Gordon Lynch. Gordon, good morning.
Good morning, Rod.
Gordon, it is school holidays in some parts of Australia, and you want to talk about children this morning and how parents or other people could help promote their children's health.
I do. I thought that we can just sort of give some basic guidelines for children of different ages, whether they're primary school or going into their teenage years, and how, you know, those activities might change or those guidelines might change, and really what we can do to assist them. It's what we can sort of lay the foundation, I hope, for how activity is part of that recipe for good health and how that can be maintained, I hope, for the rest of their lives.
Okay. So we're going to talk about, say, primary school children to begin with. And what about exercise? This is a time when their bodies, their bones, their brains are still growing. What advice can you give them for what exercise primary school children should be doing?
Yeah, so we're talking about, you know, children between the ages of, say, 5 to 12, that sort of primary school. The actual recommendation is they get around about 60 minutes or more of moderate to vigorous physical activity every day. So if you think about what a moderate activity might be, that's sort of brisk walking or riding a bike. More vigorous activities would be things where the kids are huffing and puffing, like football or soccer or running or swimming laps. And that's the reason for that is that's the sort of amount of exercise that should prevent kids from becoming overweight and decrease their risk for inactivity-related diseases like, you know, cardiovascular conditions and type 2 diabetes down the track. So, you know, to achieve that 60 minutes, I know that sounds a lot, but remember that the exercise benefits accumulate over the course of the day. So if you can do 10 or 15-minute sessions throughout the day, it might be an easier option, and it might be an easier sell as well. You know, when the kids are at school, you know, they could be engaging in fun activities. It could be like chasey or tag and hopscotch. They could do basic ball games, you know, soccer, basketball. It definitely gets them moving. And then they can play hide and seek, swing on the monkey bars, you know, play handball, down ball, four square, those sorts of things. And then after hours, if you think about what activities are available, there's actually a range of programs that are just great ways to get kids active. And you can consider swimming lessons. I mean, that's a common thing for Australian children. Junior cricket, netball, football linked with the different codes and the organisations nationally, gymnastics and calisthenics. There are all sorts of things that would really get kids active. I think if kids really should be able to exercise for longer than, say, 15 minutes, but it depends on their fitness and you have to be sensible about that. So if you or your kids are new to exercise, you don't do too much too soon. You start off slowly, you build up gradually 5-10 minute blocks and then increase the duration until you're doing, you know, that 20, 30 or 40 minutes per day. And then reaching that target eventually of the 60 minutes a day target over the course of that day. So the reason for that, I think, Rod, is about health. And health experts are advising that parents get kids active and they restrict the sedentary pursuits, you know, to less than 2 hours a day. What I mean by that is watching TV, using a computer, playing video games, going on the iPad, talking with their friends on the phone, etc. You know, ideally, we should be limiting that, discouraging excess things, because it's really about promoting activity.
A lot of that activity, though, is going to be organised by the school, whether it be organised sport, maybe on a Thursday afternoon or a Saturday morning, that sort of thing. How much should children rely on that rather than something that they're doing themselves?
I think we can't rely on that. So that's a structured form of sport and activity. We're talking about this, the general activity patterns. And it goes for children, it goes for teenagers, it goes for adults, regardless of our age, about the need to be active on most days of the week. So we need to be sort of getting to that stage where it doesn't have to be structured exercise per se. It could be all those other things that build up over the course of the day, which get us to those sort of daily targets. And kids need to be active. It's a good thing for them to burn off all that energy, and it's really about promoting health. So it's to rely on the structured things alone may not be sufficient for most kids.
especially as they are less structured in primary school, perhaps, than they are in secondary school. And you want to talk about teenagers now. So how different is the exercise that teenagers should be getting compared with primary school kids?
It is different because children are developing, and that means their skill levels are improving as well. And at that stage, I think parents should be encouraging, you know, participation in organised sports, in team sports especially, like netball or cricket or the various codes of football, as well as more serious study of things like, you know, dance or martial arts, those sorts of things. And the reason is beyond the physical in many ways. It's exercising in groups promotes friendships, that social inclusion. That sort of it keeps everyone together to that sort of a necessary motivation to maintain physical activity levels. And it's also important for mental health as well. So I think it's the physical, but it's also the mental health benefits of exercise. So structured exercise programs certainly become, I think, more important during the teenage years. I mean, that was certainly the case for me, and I think suspect for many of our listeners. You know, weight training, running, swimming, cycling, I sort of started those things when I was in my early teens, and it was, you can maintain those and you become dedicated to that throughout your adult life. And I think if we can give our children an exercise habit early in life, it benefits them as adults as well.
Okay. Gordon Lynch is talking about the sort of exercise that primary school, secondary school children should have. Of course, in the old days, for girls, it was mostly maybe athletics, swimming, netball. Now it's opened up and there's a lot of sports that girls could do. In the old days, for boys, it was cricket and football, maybe athletics, swimming, that sort of thing. But there are now far more options than there used to be.
There are, and I think that that's really gives the chance to participate, especially in team sports, and that I mentioned the benefits, not just the physical, but it's also the social inclusion and being part of a team. I think that's really good for developing character and developing, you know, future leadership skills and those sorts of things, communication. Not to be too serious about it necessarily, but just gives that structure which allows them, I think, to develop from the early years into the more teens and adult years.
Okay. Why is it so important? You've touched on a few things, but as bodies, brains, personalities develop, why is it so important that kids should be exercising? It's important that everyone does, but why children, especially as a lot of parents or kids would say, well, I get enough exercise running around and just being a kid.
Yeah, I think you did touch on those things which are about development. So I think regular physical activity, it's essential for, you know, if we think about body weight, keeping a healthy body weight, you're promoting the strength of the muscles and the bones and the joints, you're improving cardiovascular health, you're improving mental health, you're getting into the regular patterns, you know, good daily habits of activity which will keep cardiovascular parameters in check, so cholesterol levels, those sorts of things. I think schools and community organisations can provide physical activity programs for children, but often they may not reach those targets that we were mentioning before. So I think that's where I think parents need to share in that responsibility for the health of the children, not rely on schools and so on. You know, if you learn about different ways about becoming physically active yourself, you can promote exercise in the lives of the kids. So I think the earlier we can adopt this view and promote physical activity and health, I think the sooner we'll be able to tackle the problems that we're facing in terms of overweight and obesity, which really threaten the health of our future generation. So it's about promoting exercise for children of all ages. So, you know, if children have special medical conditions or they're taking medications and so on, just make sure you check with your doctor about safety tips, check whether there are any activities they should be avoiding, or they may be suggesting activities that they should be doing. So I think the medical check is always important regardless of age.
And it's also about what you shouldn't do as much as what you should do. So what shouldn't kids be doing when they're growing up?
Yeah, so I think there are things that they shouldn't be doing is spending excess time on the screen. So if we can restrict the time spent watching TV, playing on the computer, I mentioned before about a 2-hour maximum. I think in many cases, you know, it's very tempting to give a child an iPad or something and keep them busy playing games and so on. And part of the game playing and so on can actually be very beneficial, and that's part of development and so on. But it's at the expense of being physically active. And sitting on the couch, you know, gulping down sugar-laden drinks and munching on potato chips and chocolate bars, it doesn't help either. So, you know, I think we should be promoting healthy snacks if we're going to be having those sorts of things. And from a nutrition perspective, that's another thing about promoting children's health. The daily goal for all of us, including kids, you know, 5 veg and 2 fruit, trying wherever possible to put colour on the plate, so red tomatoes and capsicum, yellow corn, green beans and broccoli and spinach, white cauliflower. It sort of just gives it that idea of what we should be having on a daily basis. So more water, less fizzy drinks, fewer fast food days. I think restricting sweets to specific days rather than every day of the week, because every day seems to be a treat, that's going to get us into poor, healthy eating. So I think we need to complement the healthy activity patterns with healthy eating habits to produce the best outcomes.
It's also important for parents to do the right thing. They need to be an example to their children.
Yeah, they do. I think it's, you know, if you can adopt healthy eating and exercise habits, your children get the message. So give them the opportunity to live a healthy life early and help protect them against those future inactivity-related diseases that they're the scourge of for many in terms of cardiovascular disease, diabetes, etc. That's going to be important. The other thing about that, about being an example, is being a supervisor of that activity. So if you can, you know, I think safety and promoting safe environments to play and exercise, it's more important than ever. I think we all agree on that. So if you live in an area that's safe and encourages children to play, that's fantastic. But realistically, I think there's going to be a need to supervise children at play outside the home. Mm. Now, that can limit opportunities for exercise, but I think the supervision's important. You know, maybe they can help with the housework. I mean, it certainly didn't help with my kids, but I mean, certain things around the home are going to be important as well. But being an example and being a supervisor of activity are important for parents.
And children should also be encouraged to take part in sport, whether it be organised sport. Obviously, there are some children who do not like sport and would prefer to be doing something else. It doesn't mean they have to play football, cricket, netball, basketball, soccer, whatever. They can still exercise doing something else, and that's important.
It is, and I think exercise is the goal here, Rod. When it's not a sort of win-at-all-costs attitude. And I think, you know, team or individual sports at local clubs or schools often involve that structured training as well as competition. You don't always have to have the competition aspect of it, but just being participating. So I think involvement in those sorts of sports where you've got teams and clubs and so on, it just encourages that social gathering, encourages those social activities well. So the other thing is that from a family perspective, whether it be parents or grandparents and so on, aim to do those activities together. You know, join in and participate and do those moderate and vigorous activities every day. You know, you can take advantage of facilities like parks and pools and so on, but it's, again, encouraging participation and being an example really go hand in glove, I think.
The family that plays together stays together, Gordon.
They do, and I think it's really important that being an example, being a supervisor, encouraging participation, all of those things are going to be really important. And I think if we think we can set the scene early and develop that blueprint for healthy living by being an example, I think our children will benefit as they grow and develop and become adults themselves.
All right, Gordon, thank you very much for that advice. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you same time next week.
Thanks a lot, Rod.
Gordon Lynch, Health and Fitness.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.